Sounds like Tom T. Hall's not alone in liking beer. Well, there's an event coming up at the Melbourne Convention and Exhibition Centre next month that is going to potentially shake up your drinking. It's the Drinks Collective Show from September 10 to 12. It's dedicated to Australia's on-premise liquor industry, which is worth a staggering $16 billion, that's with a B, dollars. Sustainability is expected to be a hot topic there with winemakers, so we can expect to see a big change in wine packaging from wine on tap to wine in larger bottles. Anyway, you'll start noticing new ways that your drinks are being delivered. And to understand some of the new trends, I spoke to Kiralee Waldhorn of Beer Diva earlier this afternoon. Welcome to Travel Writers Radio, Kiralee.
Thank you so much, Graham. Great to be here.
Well, thank you. And we're talking to you because coming up in Melbourne, not this week, but next week, is a big drink fest. Well, at least that's what I think it is. I'm sure it's going to be consumed as well as looked at. Drinks Collective. So it's on at Melbourne Convention Exhibition Centre. Now, you're one of a number of people who are going to be there. Well, just tell me about the event and then how you fit into it.
Okay, so the Drinks Collective show, it's in its second year, and it's a show really aimed at the trade. So rather than a public or consumer drinks festival, this is where anyone that works in the hospitality area can come and meet suppliers in the drinks industry. So that's alcoholic and non-alcoholic.
Right.
So there'll be a lot of exhibitors there showcasing their products, what's new, and there'll also be quite a few seminars being run throughout the show as well.
Right. So members of the public, who are probably the ones listening to our broadcast, are not necessarily invited. But what would be the result of this event in terms of them? What new things might they experience next time they go into a premise that serves alcohol?
Yeah, look, I guess what the benefit to them will be is that we'll be showcasing, obviously, all the new great initiatives that are happening across the different segments in alcohol, so whether that be wine, spirits, beer, even non-alcoholic, which is a growing segment actually, which is fantastic. So they'll start to see these new styles. I mean, obviously my role is to curate the beer space in there, so showcasing, I guess, some of the new trends that are happening in beer, the new styles in beer, even the presentation, you know, how to best present beer as well. So that all obviously flows on to the consumer, who's the ultimate customer for these people.
Now, I let me just take you off your topic for a minute. I hear this whisper that we might end up with wine on tap in hotels. Is that for real?
I know. Well, wine's in cans, so if it's in cans, it can go on tap. They're just trying to get into the beer space, aren't they? But look, I know it has been on tap for quite some time, but on a very, very small scale. So, it looks as though it's going to grow. And spirits and mixed spirits on tap as well, potentially, is something that I'm starting to read about.
Okay, well, I suppose mixed spirits I can understand, but do they have to put fizz into wine to get it to come out of the tap, or how does it work?
Oh, look, I don't know. I guess there'd have to be some sort of gas to feed the wine through the line, but I'm pretty sure that the wine producers would make sure that there'd be no impact on the actual flavour or quality of the wine when it's coming out of the tap.
And the other story I heard was that wine bottle sizes might increase. Are we going to get back to the flagon?
Let's just go to Magnum, shall we?
Why not? I mean, yeah. Anyway, look, I know that's not necessarily your area of expertise. So talk to me about the trends in beer. Obviously, there's a lot of craft beer being made out there now by little guys, and I gather the big guys are circling the little guys, and ultimately there'll just be one dirty big guy. What are the trends in beer? You love beer, and I think a lot of people do. What can we expect to see perhaps in 2019?
Yeah, well, look, you know, there are now 450 breweries in Australia, so there's never been a better time to drink beer. And some of the things that we're seeing are certainly, I guess, in that craft sector. I mean, craft is definitely a sector that produces these bigger, more full-flavoured beers, but we're seeing a lot of the what we call session ales, or extra pale ales, which are, I guess, a style that is a lot more approachable for the everyday beer drinker.
Mm.
But it's just, it's sort of that step up from, I guess, your mainstream beers into a style that has a little bit more flavour, but, you know, it's still very, very easy drinking. So this... I think we'll see more of those. I think we'll see some more craft lagers coming onto the market as well, which we haven't seen a lot over the years. And then one of the sessions that I'm running, which is a big trend in beer, is around a segment we call wild sour or fruit. So these are beers that have been produced using wild yeast or have been soured using lactobacillus or pediococcus. I know it sounds very scientific.
That's a lot of yogurt in there by the sound of it.
What's that?
They're whacking yogurt in there.
Yeah, well, it's the same. It's the same bacteria they use to make yogurt, but it gives it a lovely acidity. And these are very, very light styles and great for summer.
Okay. So, well, that all sounds very interesting. Is that like the smashed avocado of beer?
What, for the millennials?
From the trendoid, from the trendoid point of view. If you haven't got a beard and you know, your razor blade goes up around your ears, you're just not in it.
Yeah, look, they're really interesting styles because, again, as I was saying, they have that acidity, so they're actually quite similar to wine, a lot of wines or even sparkling wines. So I think they're actually bringing a lot more people into the beer category that don't necessarily like those big hop-driven styles and the more bitter styles of beer.
Mm.
So I think it's niche at the moment, but I think it will open beer up to a lot of consumers who may not think they like beer, but they do deep down.
Okay. Now, I've got a question. It's around the issue of wellness.
Okay.
I eat and drink low-carb stuff.
Yes.
However, I did find a zero-carb beer that came from a Queensland brewer. However, it's 5% alcohol. I wasn't getting fat, but I was getting smashed. So how does that work?
You can't have it all, Graham.
Well, I actually was drinking low or light beer, but light beer is worse. It's high carb. So is that some chemical issue at play there, is it?
No, look, light beer by default should be lower in carbs. A lot of the carbs are contained in the alcohol, and beer itself is a fairly low-carb beverage. So it gets this bad rap for, you know, being fattening and full of preservatives and sugar and carbohydrates, when actually none of that is true because it is quite a low alcohol beverage. Naturally, it's lowering carbs anyway.
Mm.
So, yeah, look, lowering, if you drink a light or a mid-strength beer, you'll naturally get less carbs. So, yeah, I don't know why that was happening. I mean, obviously, I know why you're getting smashed.
Well, I recognised later. Yeah. I know, I went to Dan Murphy's and I picked up the various bottles and I sort of compared alcohol and carbs. Some of the labels are very hard to read, but that's also true of other products, not just beer. Because, you know, I was on this, I still am, on a low-carb diet. I suppose it's not the right word. It's just the lifestyle now. And I like a beer, but I was trying to sort of keep within my ration. And, I've just found it was a bit self-defeating because no one likes a skinny drunk, you know.
No, that's true.
Anyway.
True. And look, as I said, you know, beer is a very natural product, water, malt, hops and yeast, and that's pretty much everything that goes into it.
Mm.
So from a wellness point of view, if you're looking for something natural and something naturally lower in carbs, then beer is a great option.
Mm. Well, my only other option really is red wine, dry red wine.
I'm sure the carbs are higher in that, though.
They are. No, not in the dry red wines. They are in the white wines and some of the, if you like cold duck, you'd be swallowing a bit of sugar with that.
But, sugar, yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, well, look, as a beer diva, you don't just talk to industry, you talk to corporate groups and to people who are fascinated, I suppose, by what's coming in beers. Have we seen, in Australia, being a big beer-drinking nation, have we seen all there is to see in regards to beer, or is there new technology around the corner that's just going to completely blow us away?
Look, I don't think we'll ever see, you know, all there is, and that's the great thing about beer. It's always evolving, be it new styles, new processes, new packaging formats. I guess one of the things that we're seeing a lot now is beer in cans going, you know, it's going back to the can days, but that's because cans are actually really good for beer. But no, look, there's always exciting things happening in beer. I think, you know, in the last couple of years, or few years actually, we've started to see a lot more barrel aging of beer, which was something that was really owned by the spirits and the wine segments. So, you know, the brewers are always looking for new and exciting things to do with beer. So, no, we'll never run out of great ideas.
Oh, well, that's good. It's been going for thousands of years, beer brewing, hasn't it? Do you know who started it? Who can we blame?
The Sumerians in Mesopotamia.
Right.
It was one of those wonderful accidental discoveries of, you know, a loaf of bread and some rain and wild yeast, and suddenly there was beer.
Someone ate it and got off their face.
That was apparently the first time anyone had experienced that heady alcohol effect.
Yeah. Well, It sounds fascinating. Now, you talked before about low alcohol. I assume you perhaps almost also mean non-alcoholic beer. Why is that growing in popularity?
Look, I think people now are definitely looking to moderate their alcohol intake. And what we're seeing, which is a great trend in the craft breweries as well, is there's a lot of the craft breweries actually developing lower alcohol beers, which have still that full flavour to them, which is fantastic.
Mm.
We are seeing some no-alcohol beers particularly come in from Europe, and I think it's, you know, there's a lot of people now who are choosing not to consume alcohol at all as part of their diet. So I think that non-alcoholic category as well is something that, you know, is going to be really interesting to watch, because at the moment, you know, most people have lemon, lime and bitters or a Coke as an option behind the bar.
Yeah.
Whereas I really think we're going to see some interesting things coming out of that segment for sure.
Okay. Now, just to ask the obvious sexist question, is beer drunk mainly by men? Like, is there a popsicle version of beer that women are attracted to?
Look, every brewery, particularly the big ones, have tried to create what we call the girly beers, and women don't want girly beers. They like beer, you know, just in the same way as men like it, with flavour. There's definitely a higher consumption of beer by men, but women's consumption is growing, which is a really positive trend in the industry.
And does it have to be sweeter by definition to appeal to them?
No. You know, you can never pick it. You know, a lot of people think that women are going to be attracted to the lighter, sweeter styles, but it's often the stouts, the darker beers that I find women love, those barrel-aged beers, the Belgian beers. So, you know, again, we're all different. We all have different tastes. So, it's always a surprise, I think. Mm.
The founders of CUB must just be rolling over in their grave at what's going on. Like, it used to be, you know, Foster's, VB, Melbourne, that's it.
Yep.
Not anymore.
You know, they certainly have quite a good craft portfolio now, as do Lion as well. So I think everyone realises that the craft beer is becoming more and more popular, and that's where all the excitement is.
That was Kirrily Waldhorn of Beer Diva talking to me earlier today about the Drinks Collective show.